Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Bridgestone Arena, Predators versus Bruins tonight. The NHL trade deadline is approaching tomorrow afternoon. And to help us all break it all down, the one and only Sportsnet NHL insider extraordinaire Elliot Freeman joins us on our phone line. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I know you're a busy man. We appreciate the time. So earlier this week on 32 Thoughts, the podcast, you laid out the situation with Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly. On Stamkos specifically, you said that if the Predators were to undergo a complete sell-off, he would consider waiving his no-movement clause for certain contenders. What have you heard since then, and do you think the fact that the Predators have already made four trades, do you think that will compel Stamkos and O'Reilly to consider their options?
Okay. Adam, I hate to make bold pronouncements within 24 hours of the trade deadline because I freely admit things can change. On O'Reilly, I am still under the impression he does not want to be traded. The last I heard, that was still the case. And, of course, because the team has told him, even though he doesn't have anything written, I mean, everybody in Nashville knows this. I have been told that O'Reilly does not want to be traded. So until someone comes to me and tells me that it's different, I am sticking to that. There's been no lack of interest, but I am under the impression his position is he does not want to be dealt. Stamkos, as you mentioned, I laid it out. I knew I was coming on today. I checked around a couple hours ago, and a couple hours ago I was told that there's nothing there. Again, things can always change, but I actually did homework here, Adam, and that is what I was told in both those cases. I will say this, guys. I will say this. You guys are there. You guys know. I watched that Andrew Burnett postgame after the game in Columbus the other night. Those guys were rattled. Like, you could tell the whole way that played out, those guys were rattled.
Elliot, how would a potential Steven Stamkos deal work? He has an $8 million cap hit. The Predators can retain up to $4 million of that cap hit. Because of the new rules, you can't pull off one of those double salary retention trades right now. Yeah. So considering the reported list of preferred destinations, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Dallas, those teams are not flush in cap space. So I'm just wondering what that deal would look like if Stamkos were to decide between now and tomorrow afternoon that he would want to go somewhere.
It's complicated. I mean, there's no question about that. It's totally complicated. My story that I just put out, the link was broken and now it appears to be fixed. So I just got to put that out there. It's very complicated. There's no question about that. And that's why I think more likely than not, if Stamkos does get moved, it's going to be a summer or off-season deal. It's very hard to do. There's not a lot of teams without cap room. Right now, in most cases, Nashville would have to take a contract back. They would want to be paid for taking that contract back. There's no doubt about it. Like, one of the teams that Pierre reported was Dallas. As long as they have Jason Robertson there and are planning to sign him, there's no way they can add Stamkos' contract there. It just doesn't work. You know, Minnesota, they're in a tight cap spot, and they've got to deal with a Quinn Hughes extension, potentially. It makes it very hard for them. So, you know, I think other teams have asked about it. I think that, you know, they want to know would Stamkos expand his horizons, but it's a very complicated deal to pull off in season, which is why I think if it does happen, it's more likely it happens after the season.
By the way, the trade that Elliot broke a little bit ago involving the Predators and Stars is now official. The Predators have traded Michael Bunting to the Stars for a 2026 third-round draft pick via the Seattle Kraken. Elliot, in that story you were referencing, which is now functional on Sportsnet.ca, you did say, quote, "I do believe there are serious efforts to find Jonathan Marchessault a new home." I remember in one of your 32 Thoughts columns a few weeks ago, you said that Marchessault would prefer to be traded somewhere with good minor hockey infrastructure for his children. What does that mean for his market, and what are the chances he is moved by tomorrow?
I think they're trying. I don't know how likely it is. It's the same challenge, Adam. You know, Marchessault is, what, 3 more years at 5.25? Like, it's yes. Not an interesting thing to do in season. It's not an easy thing to do in season. It's hard. So I think that's probably the biggest issue. It's longer than Stamkos. It's less money, but it's longer than Stamkos. And I just think it's hard at this point in time. You know, Marchessault, one of the things, he's got kids who are very avid players. And, you know, he's not the only NHL player that's ever said this to me. There was another guy, and I won't say who it was, but he told me that as he got older and he started bouncing around the league a little bit, he said that he picked places to go. He had a really good young player, and he would say, like, okay, in some of these non-obvious places, you know, what's your minor hockey like? My son's a good player. He's competitive. Is he going to be able to be in a situation where he can play high-quality games? So that does happen from time to time, but I think it's a really difficult thing to pull off in season.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, the Predators have now made 4 trades.
Yeah.
In around the league, it looks pretty much the consensus that it is more or less a seller's market. So based on that, a third rounder for Bunting, a fifth rounder for Blankenberg, a second for McCarron, a third for Cole Smith. How would you say that's fair value for those 4 players, all unrestricted free agents at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think so. I think that those are very, like, you know, the one thing right now, Willie, is that there's a lot of teams that are in the playoffs who traded away first-round picks. I think if you look at it this year, I think there are 6 or 7 teams that are in the playoffs right now that don't have a first-rounder. So it's really hard in that particular case to get people to get them, because so many of them are already gone to teams that wouldn't be interested in trading them away because they're using them to rebuild. So that's a challenge. Like a second round pick for McCarron is very good. A third round pick for Cole Smith is good. Actually, I like that fit for Vegas. A third round pick for Bunting is good. I mean, he's been traded at, what, 3 or 4 consecutive trade deadlines now. Like that's good value. It's a bit of a lottery ticket. Like the percentages of that player, you know, really being anything massive are not large, but you want lottery picks. The more you have, like, I mean, you want lottery tickets, the more you have, the better you can do. But I think it also is, you know, sending a message about where Nashville is. You know, Barry Trotz has made it very clear to you and everybody else, he wants to get younger. And not only is this going to give an opportunity for some other players to finish the year at the NHL level, but it's just going to fill up their organization with prospects that they're going to try. I think it's very reasonable. Like, I think it's been hard on your veteran players. Like I said, like the way that happened the other night, it's not something that anybody wants, but it threw a shockwave through your team. But I think it fits what the plan is for the organization.
Would you say, with them all being unrestricted, and they have all, whether on the record, off the record, they have enjoyed their experience, particularly McCarron and Smith, who have been here the longest. Do you think there's any, it doesn't seem like it happens very much in the league, but they will be on the market in the summer. Of course, it'll be a different GM, so he might have a completely different perspective. But could you rule out Maybe one of them ended up coming back on a new contract?
I never rule out anybody going back to Nashville. Never. I would never do that. And, I mean, the team would have to want to do it too, right? Like, you know, McCarron is like the guy. Like I just heard McCarron and the Predators, there was just a gap in what the two sides were looking for. And, you know, one of the things that's going to be interesting in this league now, Willie, is with the cap going up, it's not just like the guys at the top of the food chain that are affected. Now the $8 million players, they want $10 million. And McCarron's $1 million player, and he was going to get a raise. But maybe, you know, the Predators probably want him to come in around $2.5 million, and he might be a $4 million player. And I think all these teams are getting used to this, and all these players are like, hey, there's more money out there now. I want it. And who can blame them? So it's got to go both ways. The Predators got to want to do it too. But, you know, Willie, like I've told you many times, like that you guys are a destination, especially when things are going well. And I never rule out anybody who's played in Nashville wanting to go back.
I'm sure that you are focused 99% on the player movement here. Have you picked up any vibes on what the? We had the question earlier today about, do we have any sense of whether the Predators are leaning towards any type of new general manager? Have you heard anything along those lines?
I have heard that you guys have like a ton of requests out there for permission. I don't think there's anything imminent. I really don't. I would be surprised, but. Like someone, this is something I'm going to work. As you said, I'm focused on the deadline. But, you know, one of the things as I got back from the Olympics and started calling around, you know, one of the things that people were telling me is you guys have a lot of requests out there to speak to people. And I was told some of them are obvious and some of them are not very obvious.
Elliot Freeman of Sports.
Let me just say, I hate you guys. I usually try to mail it in March, and now I'm going to have to work.
Well, we appreciate all of your hard work. Elliot, if Jason Dickinson and Nick Waugh are worth conditional first-round picks, what does that mean for Eric Halla?
Well, the big challenge is there's a bunch of centers out there. Like I really like Eric. I'm a big fan, and I love the way he played at the Olympics. Like you guys know him. You know his nickname is Hall of Famer, right?
And yes, we do.
It's because and I love his confidence. I've always loved his confidence. Like I'll tell you that it was something funny after they won the bronze medal, he was doing a whole bunch of interviews and. He was only like halfway down the line. And finally he looks at a bunch of us who are still standing there. He goes, guys, I've done 17 of these. I'm going to celebrate. And he just started walking away and we were all laughing. Like it was so him. Like the challenge is that there's guys like Halla, there's Teddy Bluger in Vancouver who was playing at the Olympics for Latvia. Like all these players are there, right? They're all there. And the question simply becomes, who do you pick? And I think that he's very much in that Dickinson area, but somebody's got to want to make that deal. I think that's kind of, I think the Oilers targeted Dickinson because he's a guy who's satisfied playing like a deeper role, a bottom six role. Edmonton's had trouble with that. He's a really good shutdown player. Especially analytically, like he was a fit for them. So, I do think there's the possibility of Halla getting you a strong rental return, but there's got to be somebody who says, that's my guy.
I want to ask you about a couple of other teams, Elliot. One team in the Central Division, the St. Louis Blues. You reported earlier today that Colton Parayko nixed a trade to the Buffalo Sabres, and there are a ton of Blues players who could be available. Parayko, Robert Thomas, Justin Faulk, Jordan Kyrou, Braden Schenn, even Jordan Binnington. How much movement do you expect in St. Louis before tomorrow?
I think they're definitely trying. Like, you know, the one thing I believe, Adam, is, you know, we know that they talked to Buffalo about Thomas, and we know that they talked to Buffalo about Parayko, and the Parayko was vetoed, and I'm not really exactly sure what happened with Thomas. I just don't think it ever got over the finish line. But some people have told me they've had other deals with some of these players that have either been vetoed or the players have said, look, we're not going there. So So I think that that's the challenge, is you've got to do both a trade you like and the player. It's a big hoop. It's two big hoops to jump through. You got to make the trade you like and the players who have control over all or some situations, they got to be willing to agree. It's not for lack of trying. Like, Adam, they are really out there trying. They want to make changes. It's just a matter of, can they achieve both those things?
On the flip side, the Buffalo Sabres, that is a fan base starving for the playoffs. It's been a decade and a half. Now that they've missed out on Parayko and I suppose Robert Thomas, where could the Sabres turn now?
That's a good question. I wondered on the blue line if they will look at an old friend, Rasmus Ristolainen, who plays in Philadelphia. He was a Sabre. They traded him to Philly years ago, and Ristolainen's played very well and has the reputation of being an outstanding teammate also. So I wondered about that. Center, I'm not as certain. I kind of wondered if they take a run at Trocheck, and we'll see where that goes. But Trocheck is a guy, he's got a bunch of teams on his no trade, but they were all West teams. Like, he let, like, the Kings and Utah and a couple other teams know out there that were interested that he wasn't going out there. So I kind of wonder if Buffalo, he can block Buffalo, less of a chance. And it seems obvious to me that the Sabres would at least try.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on D-Maze, Ving and Adonik. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season at 5 o'clock. And he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, I know you're a very busy man right now. Thank you for the time. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot Freeman had to say about the Predators ahead of the NHL trade deadline. You can as well. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great surf. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025. The game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Willie Donick has not left the building, but he's left Barrel House to get ready for the broadcast tonight. The Predators host the Boston Bruins tonight at 7. Pregame at 6 with Max High Maintenance Hers right here on 1025 The Game. Max has left his dinner here for like 25 minutes, and I'm like tempted to eat it. Derek thinks it's disgusting Max has left his food unattended.
It is very disgusting.
That is ridiculous.
You just don't do that.
You just don't.
That's not high maintenance.
Not covered. That is definitely
that
not,
is
high,
not
maintenance.
High maintenance.
Yes. He's gonna lose a couple points there.
All right. So he's Max, slightly high maintenance hers at this point. But Max will have pregame for you coming up at the top of the hour. A big thank you, as always, to Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet for joining us as he does every Thursday during hockey season. He's incredibly busy right now. He was right about one thing he said. He published a quick story on sportsnet.ca that had so many people clicking on it, the website crashed. That's how important Elliot Freeman is to hockey fans everywhere on days like today and tomorrow. So we appreciate Elliot joining us.
Okay, let me ask you a question, because I wanted to ask this to Elliot, but that would have kept him even longer. And this is something that I may ask Barry, if we do have him on.
By the way, yes, we are scheduled to have Barry Trotz on the program tomorrow. I've been told it should happen sometime within the first hour of the program. So sometime in the 3 p.m. hour tomorrow, we should be joined by Predators GM Barry Trotz. But please, your question.
Yes, the question is, haven't we seen this play out before where they traded guys on the outside?
Mm-hmm.
Nino Niederreiter.
Yep.
Mikael Granlund.
Yep.
Matias Ekholm. Mm-hmm. Tanner Janot. Guys like that. They traded, but they kept the bulk of the core of the team together.
Yeah.
And they tried to make a run, and it didn't work, which puts us right back in this situation. Name for name, it may not be the same as far as production, but aren't you kind of sort of doing the same thing? If indeed you don't move on O'Reilly, which it may cause a domino effect.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. I see what you're saying, and to your point, Matias Ekholm was a top four defenseman,
yes.
and Mikael Granlund was a top six player. I think the players who were traded by the Predators 3 years ago at this time were more valuable. Important, more valuable yes. than the players that have been traded so far by the Predators. Michael McCarron, Cole Smith, Nick Blankenberg, and now Michael Bunting, who was traded to the Dallas Stars for a third-round draft pick. So I get your point. And to Elliot's point, as he said to us and as he wrote on Sportsnet.ca, Ryan O'Reilly continues to express zero desire of being mm-hmm. traded. We'll see on Steven Stamkos. Elliot says the Predators are trying to move Jonathan Marchessault, but there are limitations to what the Predators – I think this is what you're getting yes. at. There are limitations to what the Predators can do because the players who, if they were traded, mm-hmm. would truly represent, we are tearing this thing
exactly.
down. They have contractual control over their situations. They have no movement clauses. And how that works is nothing can happen unless they say so. So, for example, I mentioned this with Elliot Freeman. The Buffalo Sabres had reportedly a deal on the table with the St. Louis Blues for one of the Blues' top defensemen, Colton Parayko. Parayko, an Olympian for Team Canada. He's been on that team for a long, long time. And Colton Parayko has a, let's see here, he has a no-trade clause in his contract, which means he cannot be traded without his approval. Mm-hmm. And he reportedly decided, I'm not leaving. The Blues are in a worse situation right now than the Predators. And the Sabres look to be on their way to making the playoffs for the first time in a decade and a half. It's the longest playoff drought in NHL history. And Parayko said, no, I'm good. And the trade fell through. Mm. So I get it. So even if the Predators wanted to trade Steven Stamkos, and even if the Predators want, one texter suggested Brady Shea. Brady Shea falls into this as well. He has a no movement clause in his contract, so he can't go anywhere without his approval either. So there's a limitation to what the Predators can do. And I think the bigger picture here is the Predators are acknowledging that being a bubble team every year is not a winning strategy. Mm-hmm. They are acknowledging that they are going to have to make some tough decisions, and it may require the Predators to take a step back. There was a text. I want to read this text because this is something we've talked about, and now that it's sort of becoming reality, I do want to bring it back up. One texter says, since rebuild is the direction, I will be canceling the expensive FanDuel Sports Network app and instead following my childhood team, the New York Islanders, for their playoff run this year. Bad hockey is of no interest to me. And look, I get it. The Predators may be signaling to all of you that the playoffs aren't going to be a thing for a year or two. The Predators are on track to miss the playoffs, if my math is right, for the third time in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And Predators fans have been spoiled. Predators fans have had teams for most of the franchise's history that were in the mix mm-hmm. every year. Not some years they were down, like last year, for example, which was worst-case scenario early in the franchise's history. But by and large, this team has been in the playoff mix every year. Predators fans outside of the diehards who have been here since day one when this team was an expansion franchise, they haven't really had to go through hard times. And now you're probably going to have to go through some hard times. And there are some of you out there who like this hockey team who will say, I am not spending money on tickets. I am not spending money on FanDuel Sports Network. I am not buying merchandise if this team is not going to compete. And I can't stop uh-huh. any of you from feeling that way. But I've said this before. Derek always likes to make fun of me for saying this. I think a lot of you are mature enough to handle it.
No.
I do.
No.
I think the Predators fans, look, things were lean last year.
Yes.
Attendance was still solid. Fans still came out and cheered for their team. Are there going to be some of you who stop showing up, who stop buying tickets, who stop buying jerseys? Yes, there are going to be some of you.
So what you're saying is this.
Yes.
On top of the three seasons they've already had that have been bad, you're asking them to have maybe 2 to 3 more best?
It's possible.
So you're talking about now 6 to 10 years of bad hockey. You're asking people, and they're going to be mature? No, they're not going to be mature. Okay, and this is the question I want to ask you because you were talking about these contracts.
Yes.
And maybe it was a little bit easier to move Matisse Ekholm and
yes.
those guys.
Yes.
Is it customary?
Mm-hmm.
Because each and every time we talk about the Predators, it's like, if these guys or if this guy, is it customary to have this many guys on no trade moving
well,
contracts?
Well, here's the thing. For the longest time, the Predators were one of the few organizations that rarely handed out these clauses. Mm-hmm. David Poile was really against them. I believe it was, I want to say it was Roman Josi. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was Roman Josi who was like the first player to really have like a full no movement clause throughout his entire contract. I may be wrong about that, but in my time covering the Predators, that was a thing. David
yes.
Poile did not like giving out trade protection. And
they've loosened up since then.
They have loosened up.
And look where it has put them in a position where even if they want it, it's up to the player. And get it. I understand when you're an older player, you want to get somewhere and be established and your family's growing. So you want to, if you love the place, you don't want to leave. I get that part. But you told people not to come here to retire. And it seems like possibly that's what would happen. Even if you wanted to trade them, they're like, I'm good. I stand here. My kids are fine. You know, my wife, she has her group of friends. We have a church, school. We're good. How fair is that to the organization? And get it. I'm pro player. I am definitely pro player. But I'm looking at the other side of it. Now you're in a position where you're treating one guy like he has a no-trade clause in our Riley, and he's earned it. And you have three or four other guys that have no-move clauses.
Forsberg, Josi, Saros, Stamkos. And look, and one other thing to keep in mind, Derek, uh-huh. is what often happens is as the contract
– it becomes a little bit more better to digest for
right,
a team.
Right. Well, it's not so much the cap hit, but like – what happens oftentimes is the first couple of years of the contract, mm-hmm. the player may have full control.
Exactly.
Then in the third and fourth years of the contract, they have a little less control.
Uh-huh.
And in the fifth and sixth years of the contract, they have even less control than that. Like, they still have some say, mm-hmm. but it may not be the same clause all the way through.
So are their clauses the same all the way through? Now, if it's a tier thing, then yeah, okay,
up.
I can deal with it because you figure the first 3 years of your contract, you don't want to have that possibility of being
moved. So UC Soros, for example, has a no-movement clause, through the first 6 years of his 8-year contract. In the seventh and eighth years, he has a modified no-trade clause, which allows him to say no to 15 teams. So later in the contract, you can move UC Soros. For right now, you can't unless he decides that he wants to go. But it's you make a valid point about, you know, the Predator. Look, this happens all around the NHL. Teams sort of handcuff themselves because sometimes, I mean, I remember with the Roman Josi contract negotiations, that was a sticking point for David Poile. He didn't want to give Roman Josi a no-movement clause throughout the whole contract. I remember when Ryan Ellis was negotiating his contract. That was a big thing. They wanted, if I recall correctly, Ellis's camp wanted contractual control. The Predator said no, but we'll give you more money per year if you don't do it. I think that was part of it, if I recall correctly. It's been several years. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Let's start with Adam in Portland. Adam, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
Well, the Barry Trotz experiment as GM feels a lot like Philip Fulmer as AD to me, man. Like, it's same vibes. Like, I hate to say it like that, but I don't really see anything good that's been done. And you'd look at it like, it's not only we're having problems with the roster and we're having, you know, but it's just a whole lot of, just been a mess. Like, I don't know what to say about him, man. He's disappointed me to all levels. And for you guys to say, oh, Pred fans have been spoiled or something, man, we haven't been good since the President's Trophy. Like, I don't understand what's been spoiled. Bunting and McCarron, like, nobody's shedding tears. I'm not shedding tears over these guys, man. We've been awful. We have no depth. I really don't see these picks ever materializing into anything. So, I'm just confused to what everybody's getting sad about. It's weird.
Thank you for the call, Adam. Let's go to our friend Michigan on our phone line. Michigan, good to talk to you. Go ahead.
It's a beautiful day downtown, guys. I'm happy to go to the Predators game tonight. And Adam, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Well, I'm going to say two things that are nice to you.
Okay.
First, it was nice to meet you the other day.
It was nice to meet you as well.
And you said a few minutes ago the thing that's been echoing through my heart all day, which is all the people that I've interacted with who said, we need to tear it down. We need to tear it down. And I've said my piece. I've lost this fight about the benefits of the mushy middle versus tearing it down and the pain that tearing it down could be. I want to see people in the stands the next 3 to 5 years if it's as bad as they claim to want it to be. Because you now, to use a phrase that Derek and I are familiar with, you've asked for the smoke. We're going to bring you the smoke. Let's see if you can handle the smoke. You want 3 to 5 years of really awful bad for the chance to get a McDavid or a Draisaitl? Cool. Show me you can still support the team. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm coming no matter what. I love this franchise. But I want to see it from other people. Put your money where your mouth is, Nashville. Love you guys.
Thank you, Michigan. Thank
you. Yeah, that's ultimately, you know, because you got to prepare worst case scenario. With the addition of the three losing seasons, or none playoff seasons that we've had, you're talking about potentially three more or 4 or 5 more. So you're asking your fan base to hold in. And like, and Adam, you said they are a mature fan base. And I am telling you.
I think so.
They are not. We all. I'm a fan. And I'm not mature about
You heard it
sports,
first.
Okay?
Derek Mason thinks you're babies.
No, we all. Yeah. When your team's losing, boy, oh, boy. You want change and you want it. You want change fast. So, I mean, the Titans went through it.
Yep.
They're going through it right now. And no matter how much you tell them that it's going to be a process, that it takes time, development, you know, draft, develop, and retain, that takes time. Titan fans don't want to hear it. When you step out on that field, you need to be winning.
By the way, our friend Gover does remind me that Pecorine had no movement clause in his contract, his 7-year contract he signed in 2012. So point stands, however, that David Poile rarely gave him out. Mm-hmm. Special, special circumstances. Barry Trotz has been a bit more generous with those clauses. 615-737-1025 will continue your reaction to the NHL trade deadline. Michael Bunting, the latest player out of Nashville, traded to Dallas. He joins Michael McCarron in Minnesota, Cole Smith in Vegas, and Nick Blankenberg in Colorado. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live inside Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Boston Bruins tonight at 7. Pregame at 6 with Max Herz right here on 1025 The Game. Yet another trade made by the Nashville Predators today. Excuse me. Uh-huh. It broke during our program. Michael Bunting traded from the Predators to the Dallas Stars for a 3rd-round pick. That is the 4th trade the Predators have made since Tuesday. Michael McCarron traded to Minnesota, Cole Smith traded to Vegas, Nick Blankenberg traded to Colorado, and now Michael Bunting traded to Dallas. The 3rd consecutive year, by the way, that Michael Bunting has been traded at the deadline. So Michael Bunting, wherever you go next, always have a suitcase, my friend.
Don't unpack, I tell you that.
Derek, I saw something today. It's not a funny story, but it did make me chuckle because we have mentioned many times on this program that I am proud of the fact that I have been a licensed driver for 20 years and I've never been pulled over for speeding. And then I saw that Myles Garrett received his 9th speeding ticket since entering the NFL in 2017 the other day.
Wow. Hey, listen, I can't say anything. You know, I've had my share of tickets. I have had to go to class.
Have you had 9 in a 9-year span?
I have had to go to class, okay? Let's just say that. I don't know how
get
many that
points,
is.
Get those points
I have
off your license.
I had to go to class, okay? So I've slowed my butt down, okay? I mean, some people like to drive fast. Some people like to glide. I have been known to be a cautiously fast driver. Take advantage of opportunities when I could, when there was nobody really around. But then once it's good traffic, you know, I'm abiding, you know, I'm just doing what I need to do. But on rare occasions, you know.
Myles Garrett was clocked going 94 and a 70.
Whoo, that's not, I mean.
Isn't 70 fast
that's
enough?
No, it's not. I am not you know, telling everyone or anyone.
Do as I say, not as I do, Derek
to go
Mason.
That fast. I am not. I'm not about that. But 70 miles per hour isn't fast. It's not.
Also, let's be clear.
Yes.
For the cars that he has, that's not as fast. As
you know,
what does he drive?
I'm sure he has some fast
car. He has
car.
A nice car. If he's being pulled over, he has a nice car.
Of course
he does. 70 miles per hour to him is slow.
Well, he got pulled over going 94 and a 70. Last August, he was given a ticket.
Hopefully it wasn't. I'm sure it was on a highway.
It was on the interstate in Northeast Ohio.
Even though, I mean, it's bad that he was speeding, but it was on the highway, and I'm sure.
Last August, he was given a ticket for speeding in a Cleveland suburb after he was clocked going 160.
Yeah, that right there is reckless. That is extremely reckless. You need to get arrested and taken to jail when you're, if it's 60 and you're doing 120 in a residential area. Like, man, dude, where are you trying to go?
One texter says nine
or
speeding tickets.
Or you testing the engine. That's all.
Nine speeding tickets in 9 years, I wouldn't have a license. I think that goes for a lot of us who aren't the best defensive player in the NFL.
But no, because you go to class. I mean, they don't want to, unless you just, if they've been speeding tickets, then you get up so many points. And then, you know, they make you go to class, reduce some of the points. Just don't have, like, year after year of multiple tickets. You can't have that. You can skip some years. Come on.
Well, I'll have to see where, you know, how spaced out they've been. But nine speeding tickets since entering the NFL for Myles Garrett. He entered the NFL in 2017. One texter on the Predators said, I texted you guys a year ago, almost to the day, and said the Duchesne deal was a bad deal. I assume the texter is referring to buying out Matt Duchesne, which was one of the first things that Barry Trotz did as GM. Preds would have been better questioning Trotz at this time. The decision to trade Cole Smith mid-game was bad. That's spitting in the face of everyone who went to Columbus to compete. The decision to trade Blankenberg, a cheap productive player leading the second power play unit penalty killer, for a fifth-round pick is a fireable offense. I hope the 2027 and 2028 drafts has a loaded third and fourth round, because that's all we've got. Trotz is a beloved member of the Preds family, but he has overstayed his welcome. Well, Texter, Barry Trotz is retiring.
Yes.
So that might make you feel better. by the way, again, Barry Trotz will join DVD tomorrow, tentatively in the first hour. The NHL trade deadline, I believe, is 2 p.m. Central. And we come on the air, of course, at 3 p.m. Central. We might have him right off the top of the show. We will find out, and we will let you know as soon as we do. One texter says, what's your minimum in the left-hand lane on 40 or 65? Well, what's the speed? Is it 70?
Yep. Hold on. What's your minimum
speed in the left-hand lane on 40 or 65?
Oh, if I think it's 70 miles per hour.
David's
pleading
the
fifth. You need to be going at least 75.
I'm comfortable.
At least 75.
I'm comfortable going
80,
around 5 miles over the speed limit.
I'm more of a 10-mile guy.
Sometimes I'll push it to 6 or 7.
Listen, I've been told, I'm not going to say who told me or why they told me.
What had happened was.
In what situation I was in, speeding. But there have been a few officers that have pulled me over, and this was some years ago, that have said, listen, you know, when you get over that 12 to 14 mile per hour range, that's when, you know, you give us no choice but to pull you over. So, 14 miles per hour usually is sort of that cutoff. I know 14, maybe 15, depending on the highway. Now, if you're in a residential area, no, you need to go to speed limit.
Now, I want to say this. This is an old saying that I've
but
heard
it's
before.
Not a law. It's not a law, people. It is not a law. It is not. Go to speed limit.
I've heard this before. 9, you're fine. 10, you're mine.
Okay.
Sounds like someone
that
who's been pulled over
exactly
before.
Play the fifth.
But again, we do not condone speeding
on this
station.
We do not.
Go the speed limit.
Please,
I'm just telling you what somebody told me.
Yes.
They didn't tell y'all that. They told me, so that's just, you know. Again, do as I say and not as I do.
So David said 9, you're fine, 10, you're mine. Kevin from Smyrna says 8, you're great, 9, you're mine. So
wow.
So a stricter police officer, exactly. I suppose, at Smyrna.
That must be the Nashville-based people, man.
Yeah, that's
I'm from
that's,
West.
What if 10, you're fine, 12, you're going to jail?
That doesn't rhyme.
That doesn't really rhyme.
I don't know.
It's got to rhyme. It's got to rhyme. But
10, you're in. 12.
Pause.
I can't say H-E double hockey sticks.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, look, we'll see what the Predators do between now and tomorrow afternoon. Four trades have already been made. We're expecting more. I would expect Eric Halla to be traded by tomorrow afternoon. I just think that makes too much sense. Mm-hmm. Other middle-slash-bottom six centers have been traded for conditional first-round draft picks. I expect Halla to be traded. Elliot Friedman said he's not expecting O'Reilly, Stamkos, maybe not even Marchessault. Those may be tougher to pull off.
Don't you think that's too late in the game now, trying to, you know, if one domino fall, then you expect all of the – it's just – do you – in theory, is it too late in the game for something like that?
I mean, Barry Trotz, he's going to be working the phones between now and tomorrow afternoon. And once he's done doing that, he'll join DVD, also on the phone, to break down the NHL trade deadline. Predators versus Bruins tonight, the final game before the deadline. Puck drop at 7, pregame coming up here in just a matter of minutes with our friend Max Herz live from Barrel House inside Bridgestone Arena. We will be with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Once again, Barry Trotz expected to join our program in the first hour, so do not miss it. We'll let you know as soon as we do what time. But regardless, we will talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. Be back. We are back at 3 p.m. And don't drive and speed, okay, people? Do not speed. See you tomorrow. Peace.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.